I am the pickee and he is the picker. That's this word. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. And then he goes on to adoption. Go to one more stop. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians. So who is called? Everyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well then, who is chosen and selected? Again, everyone who is a believer in Christ. Well then, why did Jesus say few were chosen? I think your answer is here. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look down there at verse number 13. Hey, harvest, says Paul. No trial or tribulation or difficult season, no temptation, has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Now be careful when you're struggling with a challenge that God has allowed to touch your life. There's a little part of you that says, boy, do I have it rough. Nobody has it as rough as I have, or you don't know what I've been through. Nobody knows the pain. What does this verse say? Oh, yeah. David, more than you might think. It's common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond that which you are able. And with every test, he will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Back to Matthew. God says, I'm never going to let anything touch your life that's way beyond your ability to handle it. That's what he promised. Now, I know that this side of glory, we're like, seriously? Remember that thing? I'm wondering why I didn't just fold up and die. It was so awful, Lord. I couldn't bear it. This verse is saying, yeah, you could. I wouldn't have let it touch your life if I didn't give you all the resources you needed, the people and purposes around you to carry you through. But Lord, it sure felt like I was all alone. Remember the classic story called Footprints? You remember that? Guy's dreaming and he sees a pristine white beach, beautiful sand. And he sees two sets of footprints. What is that, Lord? The Lord says to the person, that's when we were walking alongside together. Oh, that's nice, Lord, you and me. Then there was one set of footprints. What's that, Lord? Well, that was that really difficult time. Yeah, I've been meaning to ask you about that, Lord. Is that when you bailed on me? There's only one set of footprints. Well, yeah, loved one. That's because I carried you. God's promise is he's never going to give us anything that's truly beyond our ability. He wouldn't do that. That's a promise. Who is called, according to Jesus? Everybody who is a true believer in Jesus Christ. Who's been chosen? Everybody who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then why did Jesus say there's a lot called, but few are chosen? There are problems that are this big out there, amen? God promises if your abilities, your able, is only here, he's not going to give you one of these. How many of you can say amen to that? But are there these out there? You know what? There's even some of these out there. Well, he's never going to give one of these, this huge, to someone who is this able. That's his promise. Well, where does he get people that are this able? Easy. Let me show you. Oh, Lord. Amen? Well, I wish you wouldn't tell stuff like that, Steve. I don't like that. Remember, the context is, well, what are we going to get? We left everything for you. And the Lord is saying, Peter, you don't understand how God gives rewards. Peter, not many are willing to go beyond their convenience level. I still love them. I'm going to bless them like crazy with wonderful blessings. But the greatest rewards in eternity, the greatest celebration and honor, is reserved for those who are called eklektos, to the tough stuff. And there's not many of those. However, those who through obedience and discipline, I have noticed them, even though most of the people on the planet don't. You know why, Pete? Because most of the church crowd seldom goes to the same places. Verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we're going to go up to Jerusalem, guys, and the Son of Man is going to be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. But don't worry, because the third day I'm going to rise again." Now, would you call that pretty important news? What? You know? Look at their response, verse 20. So then mom shows up. The mother of the Zebedee sons, you know who that is? That's James and John, the sons of thunder. The mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, kneeling down, asking something for him. By the way, mark in your margin here, Mark chapter 10, verse 35. This wasn't mom's idea. This is James and John. "Hey, mom, can you ask the Lord something for us?" And then Jesus said to her, "Well, what do you wish?" And she said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left hand in your kingdom." They're thinking earthly kingdom. They're thinking that Jesus is going to kick out Romans and start the millennial reign of Messiah. And when Jesus does that, oh, can you imagine the castle that he will have? Can you imagine the pomp and circumstances and the glory of being a right-hand man or to the left hand of Messiah? The highest two possible spots, the best offices, you know? They're thinking earthly kingdom. Verse 22, "But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?'" Which Jesus is speaking of. He's not talking about picking out the curtains and the carpet for your corner office. He's talking about the cross. He's talking about death. "And be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with." What's that? "Not my will, Lord, but yours be done." Terrible suffering. And they said, "You bet." That's like most of the church today. You want to be a Christian? You bet I do. You want to be a part of the church, the ecclesia? You bet I do. Careful. Do you know what that really means? Do you know about the cup? And do you know about the baptism? I think a lot of seeker-friendly Laodicean-type churches, they're leaving that part out. Come in and get all the goodies, the blessings of following Jesus. I want me some of that. Please give me that Holy Ghost. Did you feel that? I'm coming back for the evening service and get me some more. I don't know that that's really what Jesus had in mind. I'm going to go to church. Do you know what's really there? Is the pastor talking about the power of his resurrection? That's the fun part. But Paul knew the other side. And the fellowship of his suffering. Well, Pastor Steve, that's why I don't like really coming to your church, because you talk about the hard stuff. There's plenty of churches down the street that give me nothing but the frosting. I think they're sort of in the same boat. You sure you know what you're asking for? Are you sure? Are you able to drink of the cup? Death. Are you willing to be baptized with the baptism that I'm being baptized with? Denying the self and embracing the suffering? "We are able," they said. I wrote my margin here, "I wonder how Jesus looked at them." Seriously, boys? Like a lot of us, he goes, "Okay. The ones that are in it for themselves, when the baptism and the daily cross come, they'll just bail. But the ones who will stay firm, holding the hem of my garment, that's the called I'm talking about. That's the chosen. And that, Peter, are the ones who most of the church doesn't recognize because they're not typically in the front behind a microphone. The ones that are going to be first on that glorious day are going to be staggering to many of us. And the ones who are in the back, what? That's what Jesus is saying. Verse 23, so he, Jesus, said to them, okay then, here it comes. You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with my baptism that I am baptized with. The very first martyr in the early church was James. And the very last martyr to die of all was John. They kind of did end up sitting on bookends, didn't they, of sorts. Verse 24, and when the 10 heard of it, they're mad. Seriously, you brought your mom? They were greatly displeased with the two brothers. You see, the other 10 disciples are kind of in the same boat. They also are focused on the human's concept of kingdoms and rewards. How dare James and John jump on their own desires of earthly positions in front of us? Ooh, I wish I'd have thought about bringing my mom. Verse 25, but Jesus called them all to himself and he said, boys, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise, or they push their authority over them. They like to throw their weight around, so to speak, act like big shots. Verse 26, yet it shall not be so among you, Harvest. Hey, Harvest, don't do it like the world does it. Do what? Don't do church like so many have made it to be. Verse 26, yet it shall not be so among you, Harvest, but whoever desires to become great among you, seriously, you want to be first on that day? Let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, who was Jesus? The God who created everything. If he wanted to, he could have demanded that everybody serve him. And he sits atop of the pyramid of other people serving him. Jesus says, flip the pyramid upside down. I am serving all of mankind. How radically different is that? Whoever desires to be first among you, verse 27, let him be your slave. Now, verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Remember, please, Harvest, who's first on Judgment Day, the Day of Rewards. Don't seek prominence and titles and offices here under the sun. Jesus says, seek service. It's not about, hey, who's praying for me? Anybody praying for me? It's not, hey, who cares for my situation? Why didn't anybody call me? It's, who can I call? Who can I pray for? Am I quick to notice what's wrong about the way things run around here? Did you know that there's a light missing in the restroom? Oh, obviously you didn't. Some kind of an outfit these guys run. The thing on the carpet, the whatever, you know, you look around. There's things around here at Harvest we're trying, but we are only so many people, you know. And is there something in me that's kind of quick to notice what the problem is? Or are we the first to see the opportunity that I jump in and help? Verse 29, let's zoom to the end. Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men were sitting by the road. Historians have uncovered there was a bit of an urban myth that lived around the Jericho area, that there was a tree that had a certain kind of magic, whatever, that if you were to eat the leaves of this tree in a certain manner, it would heal blindness. There was something of an urban myth, and it drew lots of blind people. So not unusual that as they leave Jericho, here's a couple of blind guys. And when they heard Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, have mercy on us, Son of David. Circle cried out. It's an interesting Greek word. It's crazo. I wonder if that's where we're going to get our word crazy from. They're screaming out like crazy. It was typically reserved to be the description of the kind of scream from a woman in childbirth. These guys were crazo. Living in crazo town. Saying, "Have mercy on us, son of David." The wise and experienced church leaders know that when it comes to ministering, don't minister to the desperate and the blind crazies. There's little hope for those guys. Look what Jesus does. Verse 31, the multitude warned them, saying, "Shut up, you guys, be quiet." But they cried out, what, everybody? All the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." That's a messianic term of the healing portion of the Messiah. So they have some faith here. They notice that this guy is probably the Messiah. And if he is, then one of the promises of Messiah is that he will be a healer. Verse 32, so Jesus stood still and he called to them and said, "What do you want for me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And so Jesus had what, everybody? Compassion on the crazy, blind, desperate of God. Who is that, everybody? It's me. Do you remember how this whole section started? The rich man. Healthy, wealthy, and accomplished. And a good churchgoer. And everybody who went to church with him or synagogue, they're like, "Man, that guy's good to have in your congregation. He's got wisdom. Let's make him ahead of our board because he obviously has business savvy. He's one that every church should want." But Jesus recognized that he had a magnet, he had a button. And Jesus didn't spend much time with him because he knew that button. He let him go. The disciples, "Don't let that guy get out of here. Look who Jesus does spend time with. The desperate. The blind. The rejected. The trivialized and the dismissed." Because he recognized within them a heart that would respond. "But you only worked 1 hour. What kind of reward should you get?" What's the heart of our Lord, you guys? Oh, blessings beyond blessings. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. God always rewards a truly seeking heart, amen? And then especially the obedient one. And great will be your reward in heaven. But here's the challenge. There aren't many of those. Let's all stand together, shall we? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, Pastor Steve, you said that everyone who's a believer in Jesus Christ is called. That's right. You sure are. And then you said that everyone who is a true believer in Jesus Christ is called, and then he's chosen. That's right. Well, then why did Jesus say that many are called, but few are chosen? Here's the answer, loved one. There are very difficult and towering challenges out there in this world and in this city and in the families represented by those in this room. And Jesus promises he will never call you to something that's over your head, beyond your ability. Good, we say. Thank you, Lord. Now here's the penetrating question for today in Matthew chapter 20. Hey, harvest. Who of us are willing to go beyond the convenient? Who of us are willing to say, "Lord, stretch me"? Because I know that the harvest is full, but the workers are few. Everybody's head down, everybody's eyes closed. What I want to alert you to here at Harvest this morning. Oh, I pray that your heart was expanded this morning by God's presence in worship. It's our prayer here, among others, Every Tuesday night, whoever walks into this sanctuary, whoever walks into our living room here, whoever walks into a service on Sunday or Wednesday, feels the living presence of a resurrected Jesus Christ who desires desperately to pour out blessing and ministry to all who will ask. And I pray that your head was lifted from the impossibilities of you addressing the Goliath that's shouting your demise, because you reach into your own pockets and you find little to respond to his death threats. And perhaps God lifted your head this morning and you realize, wait a minute, I'm not able, but you are. And if I just release my life and my heart and these hands and these feet and this heart and these abilities, if I give them all to you, Lord, you can use me. And then my words become your words, and my hugs become your hugs, and my hands become your hands. And somebody blind and desperate in my life sees you, Lord, in me and says, wow, where'd you get that? And I'm able to say, I'm just a beggar who knows where to find some bread. I'm the former crazy, desperate, blind person who Jesus healed. And for some unfathomable reason, he poured into my life supernatural abilities, giftings, and ministry. And believe you me, if anything good comes out of this knucklehead, he did it all. Well, why are you so blessed? Because you're a saint? And we say, oh no, I'm blessed simply because my God is a God of blessings. Everybody's head down, everybody's eyes closed. If you have that freedom, can you lift up your hands this morning and say something along the lines of, oh Lord Jesus, I give you my life today. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking I got to jump through some hoops to make you love me more. I realize from the story today that you are a God who loves to pour out oceans of grace and mercy, not because of my performance, oh Lord, but because I'm your son and I'm your daughter. And Lord, I'm not being selfish, but Lord, I need some things today. Go ahead and ask him. What do you need from the Lord? Please ask him now. And the God of all comfort, who loves to do exceedingly, abundantly beyond all that we could hope, all that we could think, Holy Spirit, come. Release me from the burden of working for you. And introduce me into the beautiful, life-giving understanding of serving you. In Jesus' name, and all the wonderfully blessed of the Lord said, amen and amen.